Almighty and eternal Father, as again we enter into thy presence to worship you in spirit and in truth, acknowledging the revelation which you have made known unto us that we are thy children, and happy within our spirit that we can say our Father with understanding, and know that we are thy offspring, and thy household established in the earth. Thankful that we can participate in assembly to worship thee and to meditate upon thy purposes, coordinate the patterns of the inspiration of thy spirit to carry out the objectives of thy kingdom, and filled with expectation and assurance of the ultimate achievement and victory of thy household in the earth, because thou art God, because thou hast ordained and put together the forces and the operations of thy universe, and have discharged the energies of awareness and spiritual force to descend upon thy children, to quicken them and bring them out of their apathy, and to cause them to move as a great and mighty people in the midst of the earth. We are thankful, our Father, for the assurance that you have bestowed upon thy people that relate into the destinies of tomorrow and to the events through which we pass. We thank thee for the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church, and our relationship to it as citizens and members of thy kingdom, and as also participants in the spiritual center of thy kingdom, thy church. We pray as we meditate upon these problems that are before us, these developments in our time, and upon the great pattern of the work which you have wrought for us and that which is accomplished, that you shall set us free and bring us forth in trueness of understanding, that we might have dispelled from us fears, darkness, and superstition, and that we might be illuminated with understanding to carry out our objectives as thy sons and daughters. So we commit ourselves to thy hand, saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. We go into our subject this afternoon, bringing many sons unto glory. There are areas of knowledge which is very vital for the church to understand. Many of these areas of knowledge are not often discussed in the areas of theology. Some of them are the developments and historical fulfillment that God himself participated in. Others are areas of doctrine and superstition that people do not know too much about or from whence they have come. But before we go into even areas of this discussion this afternoon, there is some very timely developments which follow the course of the knowledge which we have dispelled the superstitions and fears concerning in some matters and have discussed more fully in others. That is the mechanization of consciousness and awareness, the processes by which men think, and the tremendous impact that proper thinking and spiritual force may have upon both your life and your environment, and why the most important thing you possess and the greatest treasure which is yours is the retention of your individual identity and your consciousness. The sum total of your experiences which make up the embodiment of your remembrance for the soul that is you is this celestially embodied, now physically embodied force, this personality which is the resident you. As I speak this afternoon and you think upon who you are, and as you dwell within this physical body, which is but the instrument of your operation and dwelling in this earth, you are aware that as an entity, the body serves you. You direct it. It must do the things that you tell it to do. Within its capacities and limitations and within the area of its environment, the real you that makes up the soul resident is master of this body, under, of course, the prerogatives of divine destiny, and with always full realization that in the sovereignty of the Most High God, he could add into your environment whole waves of reaction and whole energy patterns that will cause you to eventually perform, whether you had decided to do it or not, the thing which he wants you to accomplish. Before you are through, this hand of the Father, as it relates to human destiny, will very definitely affect the conscious existence of every one of his children, and will eventually produce the results which he has ordained, even in the earth, as it relates to you and your race. More especially, when we discover the relationship to our physical operation, does this become more clear. We cite to you that the physical body that you reside in, therefore, is controlled by a very marvelous process of divine purpose, and that is that in this physical body we have the control center in the brain, and this brain is one of the greatest instruments that has ever been designed to be a part of the living you. And that, of course, as we have told you before, it's made up of these millions of tiny nerves and nerve cells, and that around them all the energy which they generate and patterns of your remembrance, energy as electrons which stay around these nerve tendrils and impart a permanent image of all the things that have been your experience and all the things you've learned and heard is a scientific verity. We have talked to you upon the reality of remembrance and it being electronic and it being permanent, and therefore you keep a record of all you know, all you've experienced, all you've participated in at all periods of time. We've told you that eminent students in the areas of the brain and neurologists have been discovering more and more with each passing year about how individuals function and how they think. They now will establish that the total energy pattern of your output in your brain is 20 watts, and the milliamps of energy that go down each tiny, tiny nerve tendril that cause the functions, the reactions, the sensations, as well as the entire patterns of sense recording in the entire physical body is electronic, operates on an electrical system in which the generator or the dynamo, as well as the restoring center of its energies, is the brain. Now, the reason this takes on added significance, therefore, greater and more significant than this tremendous physical instrument of the brain, which directs the physical body, in which you are in command, is that the soul consciousness, which is the entity that is you, that is also composed of all these patterns of energies and remembrance, must remain in control of the body and of its thinking processes, apart from the spiritual forces that from the consciousness of spirit or your life being may have effect upon it. You have a celestial body and a celestial mind. You have in a celestial dimension, in an energy dimension, not visible to the eye and therefore not able to be inspected by the medical scientist or the student of anatomy, is a celestial light being with a celestial light brain. This has its effect upon your soul consciousness to lead in the patterns of inspiration, and it was within this celestial sphere that you existed with the Father before you ever entered the earth by the process of atom birth. When I say this, I'm talking about Adam as the Adamic race, or which household you are and whose offspring you are. Now, what I am coming up to is of very great significance, because as we tell you that you must retain control of your body, control of your brain, of its thinking processes, we are well aware that from the very beginning of the awareness of the entrance into the earth of the Adamic race, in forces, this is, of course, the powers of a fallen archangel who had rebelled in antiquity against you and against your father, desired to block the purpose for which you were placed in the earth. The whole principle of the building of God's kingdom was transferring out of a celestial dimension a people who would reside in physical bodies, be spiritually inspired, and in all the mechanical processes and organic processes of the body, transfer the administration of the sons of God into a physical orbit by residing within it. This was the divine purpose. This is the story of the Bible and of your race. Now, from its very beginning, the control of all operations, and this we must understand, is the control of thought. And in the areas of thought, and by thought control, all areas and all functions operate, and thus from the very beginning, the Luciferian forces in negation, seeking to take over the universe, would seek to negate such laws of God as pertain to a race which had such spiritual origin. And behind this, of course, is much of the great mystery, wisdom, and secrets that had been known to Israel throughout the ages of their existence, and the reason why they traced their genealogies back to the Adamic race, and this was most important. The reason why also in the New Testament that the genealogy of Christ is traced back to the Adamic race. If this was not important, they never would have bothered with this genealogy. If it wasn't vital that we establish that the origin of Christ came through the Adamic race or the white race and did not move through any other race or any other society. When we point out that there is a difference even in the convolutions of the brain and in its structure under examination of a white man or an Asiatic or a Negro, we can now prove this with the accurate observation of a multitude of scientists working in this field. We also point out to you that God, in establishing his household on the earth and passing out of celestial plane by this entrance, by his timetable and nobody else's, the entrance into the physical world of his sons and his daughters. We point out to you, therefore, that Lucifer, from the very beginning, sought by a conquest of your race by gaining control of their thinking processes, and therefore becomes a deceiver, and in the process of his deception, he introduces a lie which was in violation of patterns of divine law, seeking to subject your race unto his administration and power. The violations of law also is related to the attempt and the seduction of your race to force a mongrelization and integration of your society with the peoples of earth with whom you had been forbidden from the earliest hours of your origin on earth to mingle. And this is the foundation of biblical theology. It lays in that instruction that of the trees of the knowledge of good and evil, the racial trees, you shall not intermingle. Of all the fruit trees in the field, you may eat. Nothing to do with apples or bananas or oranges. Those were all eatable. Nobody ever got in trouble with God because they ate an apple. We point out to you, therefore, that the most important thing that you must maintain is a clear knowledge of truth, uncontaminated, unaffected by the satanic influences as far as this is possible. You are living in a world in which the world order is not the program of God's kingdom, and the program of God's kingdom is in the world and a separate entity. The purpose of the Most High was not to take you out of the world, but to keep you in it until the rule of heaven takes over the earth, and this is what the kingdom message is all about. We have a vast pattern of history that relates to what happened before your race and what's happened since your race has been on earth. Today, the great strategy of the enemies of God's kingdom are led by the offspring of Lucifer. These unassimilatable people were sown among many races and were identified by Jews, by Jesus, as the Jews in Jerusalem. He referred to them all over, but he spoke especially of them. An offspring of Lucifer was called a devil. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil." And when he identified the only Jew among his disciples, he said of Judas Iscariot, "I have chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." And after this, Jesus had to walk in Galilee. He couldn't walk among the Jews because the Jews sought to kill him. Read this last of the sixth chapter of John, the first part of the seventh, and it tells you this, and Galileans were not Jews. Now, we're approaching this strictly from an academic and historical and a spiritual point of view this afternoon. And there is no way to tell you this story without identifying these people. Now, in this instance, they carry out today objectives of attempting to capture the minds of men with whole areas of psychological, economic, and political error. They seek also to undermine the great spiritual forces of thought wavelengths spiritually inspired that create the ingenuity, technological achievement, and the great social rise of your society, and give it a concept of its divine origin. Strange these who, by their usurpation of these areas of your destiny, seek to identify themselves with the things that belong by title to you in the Old Testament areas, seek to deny you the very thing which they try to claim when they move in on your areas of inheritance. And therefore, they seek to integrate your society, mongrelize your society, and place it in mental bondage. They are aware today that great spiritual flows of force move in somewhere to the seat of intellect and start an awakening inside the consciousness of man. And whereas you as a people have a racial inheritance, that in the chromatin are certain electronic remembrances that are cultural, that are inherited. And whereas most of the things you remember are all the experiences of your own lifespan, for these you store up, and in this mystery of remembrance start the moving around these tiny nerve tendrils as areas of energy, and you see this picture, the picture of what happened. You also have an affinity to anything that happened to your race, and you inherit this cultural affinity and this cultural pattern. That's the why today that when you mongrelize the race under the patterns of divine law, you mutate this capacity of spiritual perception and of clear thinking as it relates to your race, and you will discover that this mutation does not create or leave the perfect instrument that God designed you to be in the earth. This is why this is of great significance, and I'm going to pin this thing down very completely this afternoon, even out of a mistake of the enemy in his own discussion. That's one of the reasons why, then, if there is anything that you must guard your racial identity and this point of origin, and you must maintain in your thinking the control of this house and not permit the errors of the enemy, the doctrines and the processes of the enemy to take possession of it. I point out to you, therefore, that the program of the Most High God for the earth is good. The program was to build his kingdom and to bring the entire kingdom into proper relationship with him. More than this, his program reached out to the ends of the earth, as in Isaiah, all flesh eventually were to be saved. What is God's salvation? Getting people out of superstition and darkness and trouble and catastrophes and all the things that involve them, they're involved in, and get them in proper relationship with him, worshiping the right God and receiving the elements of his own grace. At no time was his strategy to save them from himself or something that he would have to do to them, because God doesn't have to do anything he doesn't want to do because he's God. Now, we point out within the facets of this operation that the conditions that affected the earth were the result of the revolutions of evil and what had happened to the original dwellers in earth and how they've been taken over by Lucifer. The grace of God picked this spot for the development of your race and of his kingdom, for the overthrow of darkness and for the triumph which divine wisdom has ordained and prescribed. Now, I point out to you that this strategy of the enemy has been very carefully developed, and he has sought to capture over the institutions of learning, and as he captures the institutions of learning, he tries, in taking over their minds, to subject them to whole theories of political and social action that's in violation of God's law. That's why they have moved their professors, most of them anti-Christian Jewish professors, into your colleges and schools, and there they introduce the Marxist philosophy under a dozen misnomers, and they move in to attempt to take over your society by this process. They have moved their clergy into your churches and boasted, as their psychiatrists met in Bucharest, that they had accomplished this in order to capture or to push in through the senses into the consciousness of your race ideas which will make them able to subdue you to their principles. Now, I want to call to your attention the fact that since memory is electronic, they think also by constant repetition a certain amount of this will be retained and will affect eventually your society, and you will gradually move into it like the constant dripping of water. That's one reason why the declaration of truth, the bringing of people back to racial self-respect, and the declaration of thus saith the Lord is one of the most important things in our time. Now, within this strategy, there has been going on for some time, and I was a guest in Detroit of one of the greatest medical doctors of this century, a man who is still doing profound work. And he pointed out to me that one of the great dangers were that certain Jewish medical scientists that were working in the areas of neurology, looking over the shoulders of every white scientist in this field, were discussing in their inner circles the way that they would be able to affect and control the brains of people and eliminate, by knowledge which they were gaining concerning electronic memory and the energy patterns within the brain, the thinking of people, so that they would be able to subdue or robotize any individual that disagreed with them. Now, in this instance, I could name the names of some of these doctors involved and what has been going on. There is no doubt that that research in all the fields of the knowledge of the human body is an intelligent thing. There's no area of physiology that we shouldn't gain as much knowledge as there is to know. And there is no secret that will be withheld from any child of God that seeks to know it, but the enemy is not trying to gain that knowledge for good. He, my friends, is peeping over your shoulder to gain this knowledge to try to enslave you. We are in a period of great danger. Danger not as to our ultimate destiny, but to the immediate situations that involve God's kingdom. The brain masters want to control the brain of everybody in the United States and throughout the Christian nations. And such brains as they have been unable to take over by propaganda, by repetition, and by false impressions through the senses, they wish to manipulate and control under the guise that everybody that doesn't think like they do or agree with them is mentally sick. Therefore, must be under a process of newly developed law, placed within a mental institution, where they then will take control of that brain, robotize that brain, and make that brain exactly what they want it to be as far as the functioning instrument is concerned. Now, you may say to Dr. Swift, this is a very delicate area, and this cannot be done as easily as you might think it might be done. But, my friends, we have reached the point where it can be done. And I want to point out to you that the President of the United States is urging that the mental health programs be passed, a tremendous amount of money be spent on mental hospitals and mental institutions and advanced experimentation. and that the area that we are in is going to require legislation for the forced mental treatment of numerous patients for the welfare of society. I want you to know that within the areas of psychiatry under the New Deal and Jewish administration would seek to make you believe that everybody that did not support the socialization of the world or the integration of their race was antisocial. And therefore, they were mentally sick, and they need to be treated to maybe made placid or to be made acceptable to the pattern of error. Now, sometimes the enemy goes beyond himself, and facts and truth come out. If you don't have a copy of this week's Life magazine, by all means, go down and get one. Get one off the newsstand, take the last article out of it, and file it away, and as you read it, you will discover what we have been talking to you about for 12 to 15 years concerning the difference between the soul and the body and how it functions and how it operates in this house. Is right now, electrons are putting on that tape the sound factors of my words, even as the brain records the image for the, as it was seen by the eye, and the image as it's shaped by words translated into what we have as focal perception, and is electronic in its experience and memory. Holding up this Life magazine, I show you the head of a man that has 110 electrodes now in his head. These electrodes go to the various areas of the brain, and medical research has now discovered the areas of the brain that react in the areas of emotion or the areas of various processes that affect the whole course of human life. From the processes of natural reactions, from food, from hunger, sex patterns, all these. The areas that relate to where you do most of your political thinking. The areas that relate to where you have cataloged or classified the various types of that thinking. And now, by means of instruments placed around your head, they can determine in you and by what area this is acting in you. Now, they have so discovered that this is so that they have found out that even though a nerve may be very small, in fact, getting down to 2/1000ths of an inch is pretty small, they can still insert an electrode that will not kill that nerve, that will actually make that nerve and center of nerves either report to them or function as they desire. So in the areas of this therapy, and they have utilized, as this article will show you, not only monkeys, but they're working on men, they have discovered that they may do a lot of things. Some of them are scientifically constructive. Some of them will affect the areas of destroying brain tumors or sending reactions which are essential to lift hypertensions and toxics from various parts of the earth, the body, by the nerve factors. But there's other things that are involved here. They have discovered now that with these electrodes, and what we told you a long time ago is that you actually generate electricity in the brain, the total production being about 20 watts and milliamps of energy down each tiny nerve tendril, carries out the decisions of your soul. Your soul makes the brain operate to do what it will and uses it as a mechanical contrivance to steer and direct this body. Now, the fact remains that as long as your soul is master, you're all right. But all your remembrance periods, which have been the remembrance of experience stored up in here, must be retained by you, except as error is eliminated by new truth, which always circuits out the area, which is a definite process of divine mental filing. Now, what do they thus determine? They show the fact that within this structure, they now have found the areas of emotion and anger and all these. They have taken monkeys that were very friendly, getting along with one another, and they have separated and found which one of these are his thinking emotions concerning this, and they found out when he came close to other monkeys, which one of these brain areas responded when he was friendly to other monkeys. So therefore, they took the electrode and blocked off this part of the brain and negatized it. They wiped it just like you wipe that tape with a mechanical head with an electronic charge. They inserted the wave of energy, modulating the waves of energy he showed in anger. They charged those nerves with the angry modulations, and then when he came conscious, this monkey, when at all times no longer was friendly, but wanted to fight and be angry with every monkey that was around it. Now you say, this isn't important? Yes, it's important. They also discovered that they could make this monkey placid after that. They experimented with other types of life, and they also found that they could take and wipe the remembrance out of areas of your brain of how you think, and they can put back in your brain how they want you to think, and you can't erase it. Now, how far can this go? Last week, before the United States Senate Committee on Mental Health, one of the major doctors in this field made his testimony. And I think it's most significant. He says, while almost frightening, yet we are on the greatest threshold of effective therapies and treatment and in the areas of mental health. And he cites here as he speaks, and this again is most important because of the areas with which it relates. It relates to the areas of remembrance and understanding as well. He said, Dr. Robert H. Felix is the director of the Institute of Mental Health. In his testimony before the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Health, said, in the area of brain physiology, I think we've made the most exciting single discovery, almost frightening, but in terms of treatment of the mentally ill, through these elements we now know, we can change the way they think, and they'll never be able to think like they did. We can do anything we want with the human thought pattern. In other words, we can heal the mentally ill. We can make the criminal no longer like his crime and decide against it. And we always, in his thinking, oppose to the thing that used to be one of the things he wanted to do. Now, within this same pattern, this is what the mental health program, as far as it relates to the enemies of our race and the left-wing socialists and world conspirators, wanted to know. They have now reached the point where they can place a person in a mental hospital and they can utterly make placid the whole area of his mind wherein he has opposition politically. They can erase it like that tape, and they can implant in this man then mechanically while he's in a semi-conscious state, after they have wiped this area of the brain, a whole pattern of ideas through recorded injection into the mind, and he'll not resist this, and having wiped his opposition and replanted the thing they want him to think, he will think this way unless a surgical operation is performed on it. I want you to know there isn't anything you possess more valuable than your personality and the sum total of the things that you have learned. The senses have brought you all kinds of thinking, but the Spirit of God has helped to guide you into setting up a filing system in which you select the truth from the error and which you do not permit yourself to be taken over by propaganda bondage. One of the great problems that we have today in 1963 is that the enemy has gained areas of communication, and he has actually nulled and put to sleep thousands upon thousands of people. Lots of times I wonder whether television has been a boom or a curse, because there are so many people today who have ready-made entertainment that are so filling their time that they don't have time to read anymore, and they don't have time to do any thinking that isn't prepared for them anymore, and they're giving constant propaganda, so almost everything over the boob tube is propaganda. Now, in this same instance, the areas of radio are filled with continual propaganda, and so are newspapers. So again, you have one area. Even in all this propaganda way, a great majority, and by stimulus, now they cite here, by energy stimulus. Okay, energy can step up a part of the brain, can cause it to be more emphatic and more intelligent in its decisions, and it can make it so activated that it very carefully delineates everything it thinks about. But if they can stultify this and place this into a background position where people will accept what they hear and go along, become placid. And in this instance, there's ways they can negate it mechanically and otherwise. In fact, we have a picture here, of course, of one of those doctors, Dr. Wetzel, with an almost fiendish picture on his face as he looks over all the tiny little electrodes that are going to control man in the future. Now, how far does this report go? It tells you, therefore, that what you would have would be the fact that they could take a political opponent, they could take any individual that disagreed with their new frontier or stood up like General Walker or somebody else and said, we don't stand for integration. Well, they could take this individual in and say he's mentally unsound, and then they could destroy his resistance and make him placid or even set a new set of ideas in his mind. Now, this is toying with the embodiment of human consciousness. The soul would not be changed, but the soul's ability to think differently in this body would be affected. Now, I tell you, therefore, that this is more vital than even the possession of your property or your homes. I tell you that there is nothing more important than the great patterns of knowledge, of intellectual ability, of senses and perception. This is the one area where the Jew must not invade, though all their blood be spilled to preserve it. This design that can wipe out Christ and Christianity, thoughts of destiny and purposes which God's instilled, is their master strategy. This, my friends, is where they are tampering with Thus Saith the Lord. It is to be said to the credit of Life magazine that as it started to talk about all these mechanical factors and its abilities, it said, now, as we have measured the areas of where thought comes in all these processes, we cannot say, nor can any scientist here say, how the influences of vision, ideas, and spirit, and concepts of religion apply, or what the relationship of spiritual law is to these things we have found. No, but we can speak authoritatively on areas of spirit because these are the patterns with which God has spoken to his people in Revelation. So Life magazine says that with all these mechanical factors, there's always to be remembered that there's an area of spirit that relates to consciousness. There are areas of religion that we would not seek to argue about one way or the other. We're just telling you what they found. Well, what they found might disturb some theology, but it doesn't disturb yours, as we've told you that your electronic memory made it possible for you to remember and to bring up the whole patterns of your existence. And now they're talking about inherited influences that have come down through the backgrounds of culture. In order to block out the kind of cultures they don't want, they would then negatize with a tremendous shockwave the areas of thinking of a whole race. Let me point this out to you. On page 105 of Life magazine, or 104, I'm reading this to you because of its significance. They are completely amazed at how much power they have now developed. And they point out that the hypothetical possibility has not occurred to the reader, but we have 110 sockets now that we have used in some men's heads, and transistorized by a transistorized stimulator no larger than a small lapel pin. And with a reactor from a master control, we can affect the entire thinking. We can stop a man eating and make him get up and walk out of the house or do anything we want. That it's possible to use 600 electrodes in the human being. Now they said also that it may be in the development of the future that in order to bring about proper social adjustment and proper balance over every individual, that an individual's program will be preset and tailored with assigned functions and duties which could be changed instantly by radio signals, and this would be installed when he was a baby. Now listen. I go to show you how far they go. Each individual's program could be pre-functioned, and they could be developed for this particular function and this kind of trade or industry in a proper balance so people wouldn't want to do the other things either. Now, also, it is cited that a 75-socket controller or a 50-socket controller could be controlled by a regional controller, or even down to 25 basic sockets. These would be controlled by a master controller who, in his wisdom, could control the behavior of everybody on his wavelength. Now, the electrical engineers of the National Electronics Conference and the Institute of Illinois, working on Illinois Institute of Technology, said that the information knowledge now in the biophysical science processes have been also considering the economic angle as it relates to the future. A child could be socketed from birth, and this human being could be controlled much more cheaply than you can manufacture or create and operate a machine. The cost of building even the simplest robot runs into multiple thousands upon thousands of dollars, but Westinghouse Mechanical Man would cost 10 times more than it would cost to raise a child to the age of 16 who could be as completely mechanically controlled for the best interests of society and economy, and then this child could be released after his working day, and this grown-up individual would be normal except for the controlled hours. Now I tell you, whenever we start talking about controlling minds and placing mental sockets for superior being control, we're not satisfied enough now that they're trying to brainwash us with the idea that a super world government or United Nations can think for all our nations. They now want to say that they've got to socket you to make you react and function right throughout your working day to get the most efficiency out of it. Talk about a battle for independence. My friends, we're going to raise the standard of the cross one of these days and sweep America with freedom. We haven't gone into all the factors of this. Most of this information concerning the areas of the process of thinking, its relationship to all patterns of conduct in its balance is something we understand. Now, this is the mechanical electronic process. And this is one of the things that has, they say, they can absolutely change the thinking. They can make the most violent opponent of, in the areas of political thinking or of government, become placid and even accept the ideas he opposed and make him a useful citizen again. So there must be something wrong with politically opposing the areas of the enemy in their thinking. I tell you, the only thing that's wrong is this idea you can control minds and get away with it. Now listen, on the last page of this article of Life magazine is again this doctor who looks almost fiendishly over the great tremendous number of little electrodes and tiny drills which will be used, and in which he said that he stands looking over this with speculation, contemplating the ultimate control of man, mental health at your expense. Next week, Life magazine covers the chemical mind changers, and we tell you this afternoon that there is something of great significance. I have read several extensive essays on this matter, for the control of reactions and emotions, and even affecting areas of reaction in the brain, can be affected by chemical factors. That some of these chemical factors are also used in food preparations. There's something I want to get over to you this afternoon. Nobody despises the enemy more than I do. But there are certain preparations that are never placed in kosher cans. This is because they don't want these trace poisons being built up in the preservation and in the processing. There are many areas in which the reaction of people, their placidity, their cow-like activity, when they should be standing up with courage and with determination, lifting up their standards and opposing evil, have been actually put to sleep by a chemical warfare that they carefully see does not reach their people. It's not just how they killed it, my friends. It's what goes into preparation as well. I point out to you this afternoon that the design is skillfully being designed by people who have discovered the tremendous areas of the development of your sciences to re-harness it for the attempted use of Lucifer. Law of knowledge and wisdom is good, and all things are ordained by divine law, but misapply divine law and you have catastrophe. I tell you, it's time we were awakened. One thing to remove a tumor, it's another thing to take a man utterly deranged and insane and reduce that situation with an insane person. It's another thing to take a clear-minded patriot who resists the power of communism and the control of the Jew and then so distort his thinking processes that you have made him accept the thing he despises. Only death could release that individual back to the spiritual capacities that his soul consciousness is capable of receiving. This is why I tell you today there is nothing more vital than the areas of information that you're subject to. There's nothing more vital than the areas of thinking. There's nothing more vital than your ability to resist, select, and recognize, identify yourself with areas of truth. And that's why we tell you that you must know that God has built into you a very fine perception system and a gift of discernment that discerns within the truth until his spirit, which is resident in you, bears witness with your spirit what is truth. Now I cite to you this, that we are always influenced in all areas by the things that we are in contact with. Probably one of the finest areas of influence in the world, of course, is every word that comes out of the mouth of God. For this reason, some people say, well, here it is, here's the Bible, there's no doubt about it. The finest information, the finest spiritual force that you could have applied to your life comes out of spiritual impetus recorded by divinely inspired men in the Bible. But that does not mean that the enemy hasn't tried to take hold of it also and put some propaganda in here to block off the effectiveness of this word, because when the human forces that are arrayed against God's kingdom put their hand on anything, they try to block areas of it out. Have you ever stopped the reason why? 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, why would you ever have to tell anybody that's reading the Bible that they've got to be careful that they are a worker that doesn't have to be ashamed of himself, because you can rightly divide the word of truth, because there's things in here that are not truth. There's ideas that have been transferred in here to try to subject the mind, even of the Christian, to the overtones of the forces of evil. Now, of course, because there'll be some listeners, even in this tape as it goes across the nation, who are so completely orthodox and are such Bible worshipers, that they will resent what I've said, and maybe they'll turn the machine off, but I challenge you to turn it back on again. It is vitally important that we realize that the whole program of God's kingdom is constructive in building. The program of God's kingdom never reduces from his person or from his hand, his absolute authority, his eventual capacity to bring the great nature of his own application, his great grace, into focus on everything in this universe. Even a Luciferian rebellion was known within its capacities to him, and the ultimate destiny that he has ordained for the settling of that solution is still in his hands as God. One of the ways in which all satanic priestcrafts control men is by fear. Today, across the continents of Asia, down where the witch doctors are ruled by voodoo doctors from a Jew witch doctor voodoo school, which operates today where Kenyatta got his first education, to the temples of Kali or the pagan houses of the Red Lamas, the way they keep people in line is by fear. They threaten them with what these strange overlords of deity can do to them while they live if they disobey, or they threaten them with terrible and torturous results when they pass from this physical world into a dimension of always admitted consciousness in the celestial plane. Or, in many instances, with their revolving doctrines of the types of incarnation they teach, they can threaten also patterns of destiny to get behavior. Now, when you deal with wild orgies of darkness and evil, such as ancient Babylon had under its Babylonian priesthoods, you would say, what kind of conduct are they trying to get men to produce? Since false religions do not have moral patterns or ethical standards like ours, then what kind of religious conduct do they want? They want complete control. It is not a matter with them of morality or ethics, it is a matter of complete subservience to the priesthood that operates behind the standards of the false deity. So they threaten them with unimaginable tortures. They threaten them with all kinds of deadly dangers. And many of them, as ancient Babylon, and even as the gods of ancient Egypt under Set and Thoth were told they would imply, was fires and pains and torture chambers, even as the most sadistic individual might level against one another in order to make him obey or be afraid. Thus it is, every false religion tortures its dead if they don't obey the priestcraft while they live. This is a Jewish secret. Well, you say, well, the Jews, of course, are not Hindus or Buddhists or... But my friends, there is no false religion on the face of the earth that Jews don't run. They tried to make your religion a false one, too. When they can't defeat something, they join it. And having joined it, they contemn it with a pattern of great evil. I point out to you, therefore, that there has been inserted inside by their patterns of influence whole areas of what they say God wants to do and what your eventual destiny would be. I want you to know that the program of God's kingdom is healing, creative, and solving of conditions. I want you to know the sovereignty of God's power that reaches to all planes and all dimensions is to put everything in order. It involves the salvation of his house, the salvation of the world from the era of the darkness and the catastrophes in which it becomes involved by sin, transgression, or violations of law. I point out to you that this is not accomplished by any false pattern of doctrine that violates divine law by integrating races or mongrelizing the standards of God, for that would extend the catastrophes and the clash. It is only knowledge and truth that sets men free. And Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it, but I came that through me it might have life. I tell you that the program of God isn't to take these souls and spirits of men after they die to put them into some torture chamber throughout the ages. That's not his design, nor is it his threat. That's a Jewish threat as they try to take over your society. I want you to know that he tells his words through the revelation as the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and to Titus and to the Philippians and others, that it is a great work of divine energy and grace, in which he, the embodied incarnate Christ and the eternal revelation of Yahweh, is able to subdue all things unto himself. So the program of God isn't to torture a universe into obedience. It is to subdue error and the powers of resistance into a proper relationship with him. And I want you to know that whether it takes the ordeals and tests in order to overthrow them that involve battles or wars, or whether it takes a tremendous spiritual charge of energy upon the sons of God that shall reach out and use great impact on the knowledge of the entire earth, that it is the will and it is the purpose of the Father to subdue all the opposition, subdue it all unto himself. He uses these very words. Now, do you suppose that God, who had the power to subdue all things unto himself, would bypass this operation in exchange for an operation of perpetual and eternal torture to everything that disagreed with him? By the moment that you see it, it not only belies the nature of God and the magnitude of his grace, but it demonstrates there's something inserted here. I want to call your attention to the words of the Apostle Paul. And this for the person that I challenge not to turn his recorder off a few minutes ago. But the Apostle Paul is writing to Titus. And he's talking about how the influences of pagan doctrines have affected the peoples of Crete. Largely these peoples were Danites and Scythians, but they had been involved by this until the operation of your race that was in Crete was bothered by peoples that were dwelling here apart from them, who were not only in every way controlled by false philosophies and doctrines. But he said, now therefore, he says, these people are liars and evil in their thinking and so forth. But now this witness is true, the Apostle Paul says. Wherefore, rebuke anybody sharply that they may be sound in their thinking, not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. Listen to this now. Don't give heed to Jewish fables. You know that one of the biggest problems that the Christian faith has gotten itself involved in is that the Christian faith has got to learn to separate the truth of God from Jewish fables. And before you criticize what I've just said, remember that the Apostle Paul warned Titus that this was the responsibility as a pastor over his church, was to not let the people be confused by Jewish fables inserted in the areas of their thinking and worship. And I tell you, these Jewish fables have no part nor lot with Christianity, your background, or your race. Why, they even tried to take the promise God gave you of blessings because you were his sons and daughters, and they tried to transfer that to an avenue of fear. And it said, I'll bless them that bless you, and I curse them that curses you. Not as their eventual destiny, but in their involvement with the kingdom, the catastrophe that descends upon them is of their solid. They're trying to take your place and say, don't criticize the Jew, or don't criticize anybody associated with it. You've got to take what he says, or you're in trouble. My friends, that's a Jewish fable. The reason why I think a bad Jew is worse than a bad German or a bad Anglo-Saxon is you can save the Anglo-Saxon and the German, and there's just no process we have today to straighten out a Jew who can't think straight anyhow. And if you question that, we turn again to the words of Jesus, who said, you can't understand what I say because you cannot hear my speech. Your senses don't set up in you the image of wisdom and understanding that my children receive. Now, in the areas of this, we point out to you that whereas priestcraft had tried to teach in your day that individual died that didn't meet all the standards of priestcraft, that he went immediately into a perdition that the devil operated somewhere in the earth in which he was tortured for a long period of time and forever. I want you to know that the Bible taught that the moment an individual died, his consciousness went into an area of existence in which, because your race had accepted the mental control of Lucifer, it was in bondage. And whenever you can hold the soul consciousness and the spiritual personality in bondage, it can't get away or move in the dimensions of its free operation, whether this is in the spiritual world or in your physical body. So therefore, there is a dimension known as the netherworld, the residence of Lucifer, of his forces. And the scripture teaches that from Adam right on down, except for the men that didn't die, like Enoch and Elijah and Moses, you can test that, but that's another subject, that the rest of the sons of Adam, from Adam's time to Christ, went into the netherworld. The netherworld is not perdition with fire and flame, but it was the place where the conscious, celestial and mental intelligences of the sons and daughters of God were held until the day when Messiah would come and set them free. Now we know that this was what was understood by all of your forefathers that knew the truth from the days of Adam, Seth, Enoch down. In the instance of Christ, the embodiment of God, the revelation of God in the earth, you remember that his atonement, he said, was necessary, that he might gain entrance to the nether world, which required that his spirit would have to leave this body by the process of death, that he might storm these gates and release every last one of the Adamic race from this mental bondage of the consciousness of the soul, so that they might, in the areas of their celestial being, carry out their activities in the planes of spirit and the rest of God's creation until the hours of resurrection. Now God, who put all things together and made all things, never designed any perpetual tortures for men other than the mental tortures they might suffer as they were aware of truth because of their inability to have aligned themselves with it by their actions. But all this is to be changed also. But let me point out to you that over in the book of Hebrews, one of the great mystery books, which book is the descendants of Heber, and we've told you that Heber, who is a descendant of Shep, that all the descendants of Heber are white men, and there's not a Jew today who's a Hebrew. You don't find the book of Hebrews in anything but a Christian Bible. Someone said, we shouldn't discuss these people. Well, this is a Christian church, and we can't get over these subjects unless we discuss these people. If there's any of those people here, they don't belong here, so then get out. I'm sure there's a lot of things they discuss down at Rabbi Magnum's synagogue that I don't like, and it doesn't bother me because I don't go down there. One of these days, all those synagogues will be in Palestine, and there'll be no synagogues, and that's going to be a great day for America. Now listen, in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, I read, for we see Jesus in his physical embodiment just a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of his full divinity would taste first death for every man. The only reason why we say that he was just a little lower than the angels, angels had complete immortality. He had lifted this immortality from his body by leaving his aura off of it so that he could make that atonement for you, which he planned from the beginning. And having made this atonement, we read, for it was becoming unto God. I like all these words to tell us what's natural for God to do, what's becoming for God. You know, we have all kinds of gods made up in our thinking. And you know, lots of Christians who say, I follow the Father and I'm a disciple of Jesus, but the God they've got, when you reduce it down to what they think about him, belongs in Africa or Asia. He doesn't belong in Christian church. In fact, if God was like some people said he was, we'd send an evangelist out to save him. Don't let that arch your eyebrows too much. If you've reached the point where you can't reason together, you haven't found your Father. Listen. Therefore it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. The author, the creator. It was becoming to God that he might do what? That he might make that atonement to do one thing. To bring his many sons unto glory, to be the captain of their salvation. And as Paul says, to bring captivity captive out of the netherworld and set them free in the spirit again, until Lucifer has today no bondage in the spirit over any descendant of Adam from that day to this. But as by one man came death, by one man came life. And he came to put down the power of Lucifer. The only place where you're captured today is where you think. And if you can keep possession of your consciousness and disseminate the truth and discern between the process of the era, the kingdom expands, the right wing moves, the enemy becomes outnumbered, we retake possession of our nation. That's what you were put here for, to occupy till I come. To proclaim the great truth of God, the mighty revelation of Christ, the great standards of civilization. But they that cannot technologically compete with you either want to harness your brains like a robot, or they want to brainwash you so you're of no functional opposition to them. I want you to know today that Sheol is the grave, translated so many times hell. I want you to know that the grave is the defeated end for the people that are to possess immortality and live forever. I want you to know that's why the resurrection is a part of the Christian faith, because there shall be a mighty synthesis of divine victory for every last one of the sons of Adam, and it reaches out into the endless tomorrows of God's purpose, reaches from this planet to the universe. I point out to you that God Almighty stormed the area of conscious existence in a dimension which is hard for you to perceive in a physical body, because it was another dimension in which consciousness and spirit existed. That he stormed the gates, as the psalmist said, who's at the gates? The King of Glory is at the gates, the Lord strong and mighty. Who is at the gates? The Lord strong and mighty, the King of Glory is at the gates. Open up the everlasting gates, the King of Glory shall come in. And from the day that Christ stormed those gates and broke the power of those that held in bondage, the Adamic race, there has never been a subordination of the consciousness of the Adamic race in a spiritual world. Once for all. We tell you this afternoon, as the sons and daughters of God, you can stand justified and free. You don't have to be worried about expending your life in the face of danger. You don't have to worry what would happen to you if you died in the conflict. You don't have to worry about the conditions of environment. You can live without fear, because you have faith in what God has accomplished, and by his grace, absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Which means also victorious return to see every last communist pushed over the hill and every power of darkness eliminated, and the transportation of all our enemies to a far distant place. We haven't time to finish this subject. We're going to talk to you next Sunday afternoon. Storming the ramparts of mental captivity. We're going to talk to you about this next Sunday afternoon to carry on the finishing of this phase of the subject. We want you to know that your Father has arranged by his own action and his own function your liberty and your freedom, the eventual establishment of his glory, the triumph of his church, the majesty of his kingdom. Don't forget what we've told you this afternoon about this whole mental health program, this whole strategy, its dangers as well as its scientific development. Get a copy of this week's Life and file it away, and get next week's and file it away. And you'll see what we've been talking to you about for 15 years brought out in areas of technique. And you'll see some things that relate to this immediate issue. As we take your offering this afternoon, we urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us in this vast, extensive missionary program of reaching as many white men in America as we can reach with the gospel of the kingdom. We urge you to help us in awakening them to their responsibility, to their heritage, and their purpose of living. And TAPE is reaching people. We're moving in on over 28,000 TAPEs now, moving on 29,000 before us this week. We need your tithes, we need your offerings, we need to pay for TAPE. Somebody said, I'd like to pay for a week's take. Well, that used to cost about $800. By the end of this week, it has cost $1,200. This is the expansion that we will be undertaking. And if you want to know, if you want to buy 1,000 tape, it costs $1,362. And if you can find it any cheaper, tell us where to get it. That's Mylar. That's an hour, 15 to 20 minutes of message going out across the country to be multiplied, to be spread, to reach people everywhere, to set men free. And if you know any way to reach people more effectively, tell us how. I want you to know that we are now on the air in Florida, over a radio station in Florida out of Tampa. And this station reaches about a 400-mile area in which the messages we bring you on Sunday afternoon are going on that station and being broadcast without anything cut out. I'm sure they're going to enjoy this one. Now help us reach people with truth. We didn't talk to you today about the occupation forces of the United Nations or about water moccasin or the snake program. We'll have some more to say about that tonight. So we tell you this is a time for Christian Americans to wake up and help reach people with truth. You say, how can we save America? You can get every other white person thinking like you do by the truth that sets men free. But how will they know if they don't hear? Because they're not going to get it on the television set. So we want your tithes. We want your offerings. Help meet auditorium expense, staff expense, transportation, tape, radio, all these areas. Don't forget XDRB, 1090 on the dial, Voice of Truth, every day, 9:15. Mr. Comperé or I will be speaking on that station day after day. The amazing thing is that the switch has never been pulled. I'm going to tell you there's one switch they'll never pull, and that's your vast communication program that you have today through tape. I believe you're reaching more people than any congregation has ever reached by any procedure before. And with your tithes and offerings, we urge you to hold up our hands. Our gracious Heavenly Father, oh God, bless you. Rest upon this congregation. Multiply this offering. Carry forward the gospel of thy kingdom and the work of thy church. That and we ask it. Last Friday night, we had in our congregation one of the world's best research experts on communism, the man who we met some time ago. In fact, I believe in 1948, at a great Christian Nationalist Convention in St. Louis. This man we know and his knowledge on this subject we respect. He spoke to us last Friday night after we finished our resume of the week's events. He's our guest here this afternoon. We're going to ask him to stand up so you can see him. This is Mr. Ernest Elmhurst, the author of World Hoax. If you'd like to talk to him at the end of the meeting, you'll know who he is so that you can talk to him. He's standing up in the back. He's one of America's best experts on this topic.